if I heard that somebody in some other place was praying for me who didn't even know me but wanted to pray for my needs, that would give me such courage for the day.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 8, Episode number 26.
You are seen, you are heard, you are loved by God. You're not alone, you're fully known, you are loved by God.
Well, welcome back to another episode show. Thrilling episode, exciting episode of See Hear Love, because so excited to have someone that many of you are very familiar with if you've been watching See Hear Love from the beginning, which I think is like 7 years. But we've got co-host, speaker, founder and executive director of World Made Digital and ambassador for Hope and Healing, Joanna LaFleur in the house. Jo!
Hey.
Yes! I always love doing this kind of thing, especially with you.
This is so fun. It's so fun. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and especially one-on-one, very focused, because it's very different, right? Being on a panel than being like kind of zoned in with one person, hearing the story, getting more time together.
Well, it's so tough, isn't it? Because you've got this job to do when we're all on the couch together, where you're trying to rightfully hear from so many different voices and perspectives, and there's only so much time in the constraints of a TV show to get any. And so, you know, some people will say something and it's two sentences, and we could spend a whole show just getting more out of them about that topic. So it's fun that we can do that on the podcast format.
Well, now we have more than two sentences. You have more than time for two sentences. So we can chat a little bit more. And I think this is a really special conversation, because we're going to be talking, you know, about, you know, your trip to Tanzania, but also just, you know, I was looking on my wall and I have this printed out in steel from Magnolia, if you know Chip and Joanna Gaines, my mother-in-law, when I first, I think, got married to Chris. Because I love Magnolia, and I'm so inspired by Joanna Gaines. She bought me it from Magnolia, got it sent over, and on it says, from Micah 6:8, it says, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And I have it up on my wall to remind me of what God has called us to do, and in those three simple steps. And so I want to kind of talk about your trip, Jo, but also talk about this verse that sometimes we forget about, sometimes we kind of recite and then kind of go on, but maybe we can just spend some time chatting about that, what that means to you, what it means to us as far as that, and then kind of tie in, because I really want to hear about your experience in Tanzania, how it impacted you, and then the importance of power of prayer as you went on that trip as well. So let's talk about Micah 6:8. Let's do some Bible study learning together. So he has shown you what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, act justly. What's that mean?
I think what he's trying to say, it seems like you're trying to make this so complicated, but God has shown you, like, you kind of know both from your experience with God and just that thing that some might call a conscience, the Holy Spirit, this intuition, this gut feeling. We know something deep within us about what it is we're supposed to do, and we overcomplicate it. We add all this other stuff on top. And I think that's where this idea of justice and mercy and humility, I saw so clearly on this trip in Tanzania and Kenya, but also was challenged by, you know, I saw it in the lives of the people we met, both like the professional, these medical professionals we were meeting who were dedicating their lives to the service of others. These are professionals who probably could do all kinds of other more things with more notoriety, but they've given their lives humbly to serve others. They're working for justice and all these kind of things. But also how when people receive those things in their own life, how it transforms them. That it's not just about yes, Hope and Healing does surgeries, rehabilitation, physiotherapy, all these amazing things to transform the lives of kids and their families. But it's more than that, because the point of what this verse is saying, right, is like we're looking at a holistic approach. It's not just one of these things, but each of these things affects us, our communities, our families, you know, so profoundly. And it changes. If we do these things, keep it simple, and do these things, it really does transform lives.
Yeah, I love that. Act justly. And then we don't usually use this phrase, but love mercy, Joe. Like, what is love mercy?
Yeah. Well, I think that's where when you see these injustices, like, for example, just something as simple as because of a lack of education or a lack of access due to technology, transportation systems, poverty, that someone doesn't have the access to healthcare or knowledge that even, for example, that there is something that can be done for your condition. When you realize the context of how unjust that is, that it's not fair, that everyone doesn't have equal access, I think it certainly with me, that it leads you to mercy, that like, God, have mercy on that this isn't right. And he invites us to participate in it, that mercy isn't just then this strong emotion. It can move us to do something. You know, we were meeting women. I can picture this where we were in Dar es Salaam, in Tanzania. We were getting a tour of this hospital, and we come to this group of women who had usually from birthing, they had a traumatic thing happen to their bodies. We don't need to go into too much detail about that. And they had been living for years with like this trauma in their body, and simple surgery would heal them, would allow them to go to the bathroom normally, allow them to have more children, allow them to participate in their own society. But they've been shunned because of this. They think they've been cursed or whatever else. They don't have the injustice is a lack of education, a lack of exposure, you know, people treating them. And then you see like the mercy that they've been shown by Hope and Healing and the partners there, of like, we can not just do a surgery to fix this, but we're going to invite you into a community. So we walk into this area of the hospital where these women are in like a educational session. So they are either pre or post-op, and they're in this educational session about hygiene and healthcare and all these kind of things, learning things they'd never had access to before about their own bodies and their own community, their own children and their own daughters. And they start singing these praise songs to God. And like, it's all you can do to not just like fall and cry in a puddle on the ground as you hear these women who have suffered so greatly, both physically but also socially because of their condition, sing of like God's mercy and kindness, and what he's done for them, and seeing, even just feeling like, who are we to carry these stories? And yet they showed us some element of mercy too, to offer us their stories, to share something so personal about themselves, and to, you know, assume the best of us when they'd never met us before, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I mean, I go on to say it, that verse, just what I think of that idea of mercy, I'm thinking of these women as we turn a corner and they are singing these songs of praise about how merciful, kind, and, you know, how good God has been to them in the midst of serious injustice and serious suffering that they've gone through.
So good. And then it says, walk humbly with God. What does that, what does that look like? What does that mean for you even personally? What does that look like?
One of my mentors talks about that idea of right-sizing yourself. That idea of we are not too small, not too big. Like, what is the right size of our ego, of our perspective of what God is doing in our life, of, you know, our calling in the world, you know? And when you meet people in the world, but, you know, people you've never met before, you have an opportunity to come with your ego, or to come with humility, curiosity, that thinking of others is better than ourselves, thinking of others before ourselves, and this right sizing too of our problems, of our impact in the world. You know, when I'm meeting, for example, these medical professionals, I've never met them before, I've never heard of them before, I don't know anything about their work, and yet they have made life-changing impact in the world. and I've never heard of them before. You know, these are not known famous people who have made more impact than some of us may ever make. Mm-hmm. And the humility that they do their work with is really inspiring. And it just makes you want to right size yourself, put your own life in its proper place and perspective.
Yeah. I like that. Right sizing yourself. I've written that down. It's so good. So you talk a lot about this experience in Tanzania, mm-hmm. and you're an ambassador of Hope and Healing. For those that don't know, how and why did you want to align yourselves? I mean, there's so many organizations, Joanna, mm-hmm. out there, great international development organizations, but yeah. why Hope and Healing International? Mm-hmm. And to be an ambassador of an organization like this?
Yeah, well, I think as some of these things go, it started accidentally. You know, I came into contact with Hope and Healing International through, you know, they hired me as a consultant for a 1-day project to do with marketing, communications, media, digital, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it was like your meeting of kindred spirits, a room full of people who were like-minded in terms of work in the world, desire for impact, change, but also specifically with Hope and Healing, as they're talking about who they are talking to and talking about, it's thinking about mothers and grandmothers and their children, that these women who really carry communities. And that's the same here in Canada. And a resident, I'm not a mother myself. I have, as I often like to say, very proud aunt. I have many nieces and nephews, 12 nieces and nephews. Uh-huh. And so I'm not a mother, but there's lots of kids in my family and in the circles that I walk in. And this idea of like women's responsibility to care for the children amongst us and women caring for other women around the world. And that's what I really connected with initially about Hope and Healing that developed into this real like partnership. And it's really, I didn't expect to one day, you know, travel with them to Kenya and Tanzania and all this stuff and get to see their work firsthand. But it was such a privilege because they said, if you come, Joanna, come and see it for yourself. Mm-hmm. It will, of course, impact me, but also I hope help me tell the story better of what I was seeing. And I remember coming maybe a week into the trip, and I said to one of the women from Hope and Healing that was leading this trip, and I said to her, I'm probably emotional, I have tears in my eyes or whatever, and I just said to her, like, I get it now. I get it. Mm. I've seen enough now that I said, like, I honestly, what I said to her as we were sitting there at the end of the day was like, you know, sometimes you can be bashful or embarrassed or nervous to ask people to give money to a cause that you like, but maybe they don't care about. Mm-hmm. It's not important to them, kind of a thing. You know, it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just not their thing. And I just said, I feel like unabashedly now that I've seen what the need is, what the impact is, the life change, etc. I have no problem, no shame asking someone if you've got an extra $20, $200, $2,000, $20,000, whatever it is. If people are looking for a place to make impact with their money, I have no shame now saying I have seen with my eyes what the money can do. The needs are huge. There's always more need than there is resource in these kinds of work. And so I feel like a week into my trip, I was like, oh, I get it now. I've seen, like, if you could get a new van, that would mean these mothers and their kids wouldn't have to travel 2 days with disability by bus and, you know, tech and all these, like, crazy ways they might walk by foot and bike and crammed with 12 people into a 5-seater car to get to the hospital to get the care. Like, if you had the resource to buy the bus or whatever it is, I get it now. I see what this can do. And so it's been a real privilege and kind of an unexpected friendship and unexpected mm-hmm. journey to partner with them.
You know, that's so encouraging. I mean, it's like everybody should go and see the work, you know, of what is being done all over the world, you know. But I think that's really powerful, Joe, in that, you know, to see it and then get it. Right, because we hear the stories, but then for you to see it and then come back and like share the stories, I think it's so important. That's, you know, not everybody can go.
Prayer changes lives here in Canada and around the world. I'm Joanna LaFleur, and on a recent trip to Tanzania with Hope and Healing International, I saw firsthand how vital prayer is in caring for vulnerable children. Prayer is powerful. So I'd like to send you Hope and Healing's free prayer diary filled with prayer requests from kids living with disabilities. To get your free prayer diary, go to hopeandhealing.org/prayer diary.
Your trip to Tanzania with Hope and Healing International, what did you do? Like, actually, it's funny. I haven't even talked to you about this. Like, I know why you went, and then we didn't have even get a chance to really chat about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, what, or you saw some pictures on my social media, pictures, but, like, what did I actually...
Like, actually, what did you do?
Yeah. I mean, in brief, the intention of the trip was for myself and a few other people that were there was to expose us to the work. And so, you know, this wasn't like what you might call a missions trip or something. Maybe people think about you go and, I don't know, you're building a school or running a camp or, you know, something like that. This was a trip, really a learning trip. And we were capturing a ton of media too. That was a lot of fun because that's sort of my wheelhouse. And so we got to go to various key sites of these hospitals and the work. And we would be there literally where they're doing surgery. We would meet children in physiotherapy. We went into the room where they're building artificial limbs, and they have these 3D printing machines that are building. You know, they've built this technology that allows them to, because of course with a child you give them an artificial limb, but then they grow and they need another one next year and another one next year. And so in that, what they view it as though is an opportunity for long-term relationship with these families. So they might meet a child when they're quite young. If they can connect with the family early enough, they meet the child young, and then they walk with that family for the whole childhood and upbringing, and they're building the relationship and they're sharing this justice and mercy and with humility. They're sharing the love of Christ, not just in one visit, but actually over a series of times with these families. And so, you know, we were singing with children and play. We were trying to play with kids. I'm seeing myself out in a field with this soccer ball and a boy who had, you know, a full leg amputation, artificial limb. And he's like a better soccer player than I am. This boy's name is Emmanuel. And he'd been coming there over time. And you could see his confidence. We're saying, like, does he have friends? What does he like to do? And he had so much confidence because I think from an early age, he'd been going to a place that maybe just took stigma away of what his situation was. And so he could go to school and he could walk to school because he had, you know, he had this prosthetic leg and he could play soccer with the other boys and be part of normal life, where in a place where, if you can't walk, if you can't move yourself, move your own body, it's very difficult to have any kind of life without that. And so to see his confidence and his smile and, you know, him laughing at me because obviously he's way better at this stuff. And so we did that kind of thing, and we got to meet with these like the medical professionals, hear their stories, hear what their needs are, but and their challenges. You know, these are like expert surgeons, both from the African continent and a few expats like from other parts of the world. Mainly, though, maybe that's important to note, most of the people that are doing this work locally, they are local people. These are Kenyan surgeons, Tanzanian physiotherapists. Wow. These are experts locally who are amazing and trained in what they do. And but they need resource, so they're trained, but they may not have, you know, the physiotherapy equipment that they need, but they have the expertise if they would only have the resources. And so then we, you know, we traveled to a few different places. We got to see these hospitals. We got to meet the children. And then some of the most impact, too, was when we went to some of their homes. So we got to go, you know, in the van, bumping up and down these back roads that, you know, I would never want to drive on myself. I'm sure I would get the truck stuck. But going into the homes and seeing the context in which a child with disability lives in a place that is you know, not accessible in any way, and how there's the chickens and the cows and the goats and the grandpa and the grandma and here's the crops in the little field, and, you know, here's where they sleep. And it just contextualized everything about what this family was going through. So we went to a few homes, and that was amazing.
Wow. When you were there, I mean, did you feel overwhelmed? Did you feel... Was it what you expected? Was it not what you expected?
There are definitely moments, right? Sights, sounds, smells, even just the language. I think some of the frustration you feel is when you start to feel a little bit more comfortable, you get over yourself. Again, you right-size yourself. It's not about me. Who cares if I, you know, look silly or whatever? Nobody cares. They're just so glad you're here to get to know them. But the frustration of the language barrier can be so real, right? Where you are trying to find and pray, you know, God, like, is there a creative way I could show love and connect with these kids or these mothers? If I could connect, these are women my age or younger maybe, but maybe, you know, around my age, right? These are the moms. If we could connect, and how do you do that with body language and smiles and a hug and a small gift, or trying to show them love through loving their child and giving their kid a sucker, or, you know, whatever it is, trying to think of ways to break through those barriers. So you come to the end of the day so tired because you're in a different context all day long before you get to lay your head down, but kind of swirling with the joy and hope of all these people and what God is doing and how they were showing me God's love too. It was amazing.
You know, I think that's always amazing because, you know, you go to situations like this and they seem dire and difficult and challenging. Mm-hmm. And yet, and when I say we, North America, we actually get more impacted, blessed, convicted, changed by the people that we think that we're going to go over to help and change. Do you know what I mean? Like it's was that like that for you? I mean, you know, you were there more. I know you're observing and doing media work, but did you feel that?
Well, I can imagine that I will think of them, some of these people that I met and saw, maybe perhaps longer than they will think of me. because I just met so many, people, and I can see these faces and these stories in my head as we speak now. But you do hope, right? You and sort of what you understand is that there is some level of, you know, to go to their home, you hope that they feel honored and blessed by you coming, that that you cared enough to come. But again, like, I think it is true, of course, that you know, it's the situation can feel like, who am I? Like, what can I do? I'm not a medical professional. Like, I can't actually help you, but I can hear your story and try and bring it home with me and carry it with me to people and in prayer and in my own giving as well. And I do think those are things that I will now carry for my life.
Mm-hmm. Like when you came back to Canada, it's always that thing, right? When you come back from a mission trip or from a retreat or time away from a church ministry, and you have that, you know, those days after in the week where you're like, oh, why am I here? Yeah. I wish I was still there. Or the impact for you. I know you say that this will carry with you, but anything you learned about God and yourself, Joe, after coming back from a trip like that?
I think on one level, I think what struck me maybe is kind of what I've already mentioned is this idea of like how like women, I think the older I get, the more I realize we're more the same than different. Like the needs, the hopes, the fears, the dreams of women around the world, like they're the same. Like everybody wants the same thing for their kid, for them to be healthy and happy and thrive and have love and a job they like to do, to make, you know, everybody has these things, but everybody also has like here's the story. Everybody also has these commonalities amongst women. I can picture this one place we were, it's a city called Moshi. It's at the base of Kilimanjaro. So if anyone has climbed or will climb Mount Kilimanjaro, this is the base city that you go up the mountain from. And so we were there in Tanzania, and there's all these women and their kids, mainly women. There were a few men or big brothers, but mainly it's women and their children coming for a week of intensive physiotherapy, assessment, training, teaching. Basically, the idea is like, let's teach these moms holistically about nutrition and health and give them all these physiotherapy exercises, figure out what equipment, like wheelchairs, walkers, braces, whatever it is their child needs, equipment for toileting, whatever it is. Let's figure out what they need. Let's get that measured in equipment, but then let's make sure that they know these exercises inside and out. So by the time they go home, they can do them at home, etc. At the beginning of the week, these women, when we met them, these women are like, their self-esteem is so low. And I think that this resonates with women in Canada. Like, what have I done wrong that my kid is like this? And even if you don't feel that like a sort of a spiritual or like a superstitious way, it's like, what could I have done differently? How am I feeling as a mother? I could have done more. And their community isolates them because there's not many other people like them. And they feel isolated, alone. They're exhausted. They probably have many other children besides this one that has extra needs. Mm-hmm. And so they come and they feel so low and they won't even look you in the eye. Mm-hmm. Their shoulders are crumpled, you know, and you can see how a woman can get there in belief about herself and about her mothering and her ability to help her own child. And especially if the community around her, her local community or family, is like not supportive. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the week, after like a week of hanging out with all these other moms, this sort of like, they only had one kid, not all their kids to look after, so they probably slept a little better. They've gotten like a game plan for how to help their child. They've got physiotherapy. They're empowered with new things to do. Their child has made new milestones and steps forward, even if those are small. They've been told that they're valuable. They've been taught about God's love. That, like, they've been singing these songs. They've done all this stuff. At the end of the week, we see all these women lined up waiting for their transportation home. They're waiting for their vans and buses to take them home. These women, they're laughing. Their shoulders are back. But this is the part that I love the most. They had one red lipstick. They were passing from woman to woman to woman. All of them are like, and this is what I mean, like what it strikes me that like we're the same. Like all these women are passing. I can picture us in the See Here Love dressing room, like talking about makeup and hair and what are we going to wear for the show. And like, it's the same, like women around the world wanting to feel beautiful and hopeful and full of dignity, feeling loved, seen, heard, the whole point of See Here Love. And you saw this transformation in 5 days in these women.
Wow.
And that's what sort of one of the things I think I come home with and sticks with me is like, we're more the same. You know, it sounds so cliche, but I saw it. Like, we are more the same than different, even with these language and culture barriers. Like, the things we hope for and want and pray for are so similar, but the obstacles are so big. What's that expression people have been saying over COVID? Like, we're all in the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. So some people have got the cruise ship and some people have got like, you know, the
raft,
little plank, the raft with a hole in it. And so we have such similar hopes, dreams, desires, and that we can connect and resonate. But the obstacles are so huge that they have to overcome. Yeah.
Joe, that's so good. I think we have to be reminded, and thank you for reminding me and our listeners and viewers about that we are more the same than we are not. And I think we need to be reminded of that. I think sometimes we create scenarios, pictures, and again, talking about, you know, biases and prejudices of who people are and what they are like. And then when you go there and you're like, actually, they all wanted to put lipstick on. And I'm like, yes. Because
their hair done, chatting with their friends.
That away. We learned, we felt empowered, we feel strong, we feel, you know, empowered for change. We can do something now because we have skills to make a difference with our children, which we know when we impact our children, families, communities change. And I can imagine the hope given, which I love, hope and healing, that comes with that. You know, spending the time, and like for anyone, if people came in, you know, to spend time with me to help me learn, grow, be encouraged, learn, you know, tools on being resilient, practical tools, I would come out of a week feeling strong, wanting a new dress, putting on my face.
Making a new
ready
friend.
To conquer the world, yeah. Right? And meeting new yeah. friends and feeling like, you know, you are seen, heard, and loved when people take the time to come and spend time with you, to mm-hmm. equip you, to encourage you. You know, and even as you had mentioned, like, and to pray for you that you'll be able to do it, that you can yeah. do the hard things. I think that's really important. Let's talk about prayer. I mean, prayer has always been something we've talked to, you know, See Here Love. But I know with Hope and Healing International, prayer is really important, especially praying not only for the moms making the changes, but praying for the kids that are struggling and suffering. Yeah. Talk to me about that in the experience when you were there in Tanzania, in the culture of Hope and Healing. I know prayer is really, really important.
Yeah. Well, I've seen that in my experiences, both with the Canadian team and the way prayer is part of their life, their work, their meetings, their emails, you know, they're, and even just, you know, praying for, you know, their other, like, not just for the work of Hope and Healing, but for each other as a staff, you know, but also, of course, seeing it when I was in country, in Tanzania and Kenya, you know, how we were praying throughout the day, praying to start mm-hmm. the day, writing down prayer needs, asking for prayer needs, praying with usually women and their kids, you know, in person, and even through language barrier, people can understand and feel mm-hmm. that. And God understands anyways, mm-hmm. even if nobody else does. And yeah, it is, and that's where it's this, I think the idea behind Hope and Healing's name is it's holistic. It's not just, yes, we can give you a wheelchair, we can do a surgery, we can teach you physiotherapy exercises to improve your quality of life. But quality of life is all things. Like, Hope and Healing is also, of course, we're talking about spiritual hope and healing. It must be all of those things. And that's where I love where these relationships with a lot of these families are over the long term, that it's, some people are, they come once and that's all that's needed, but a lot of people, they're being seen for years, and so they're seeing the answers to prayer over years. And it's amazing. And so, you know, one of the things that Hope and Healing does is this prayer diary. Anybody can get it. It's free. And for every month of the year, every week of the year, even every day, if people are list prayers, I know not everybody is. Some people are a bit a different style in their prayer. But if people are looking for, well, how do I pray? Like, what do I even do about this? For people who are named in this prayer diary, it's literally a list of like things that people are asking for prayer for. Like, wow. here is a child. Here is what they've asked you to pray for. Here is the mother. Here is how you can pray this year. This is the thing that they're waiting for. This is the surgery. This is what we're hoping. This is what we need. And you know, for people, for any of us to think that someone who's never met us might spend a few minutes lifting our needs to God, and we all have them. We all have hopes, dreams, fears. We all want to wear that red lipstick and look good when we come home, you know, like when we're going back to our people who know us, you know. We all have that. And then this idea that for, you know, these community partners and the hard work that people are doing with great expertise but small resource, for them to know that we're praying and to see how God provides in miraculous ways. I'm sure, Melinda, you know from your own stories of work in the Philippines, just these miraculous stories that only God could have provided that. Yeah. Only God could have had that food show up just when they were out of food. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, that wheelchair was the exact perfect fit for that boy who needed one, and we could never have known that this boy was coming on this day and the wheelchair was the right one for him, or whatever. I mean, there's so many stories about it, but it is prayer that shifts the needle mm-hmm. and gives this deep encouragement to people. And I think, too, this, if it was me, you know, to think that if I heard that somebody in some other place was praying for me who didn't even know me but wanted to pray for my needs, that would give me such courage for the day. And so that's what the point of the prayer diary is, to pray with thought, intention, to keep the needs of these women and their kids, these moms, these grandmas, these families in our minds, because it does actually impact.
Yeah. And if anybody's interested, and I'm definitely going to get it, hopeandhealing.org/prayer diary is where you can get it. hopeandhealing.org/prayer diary. And I think is it a year one? I don't know if it's a year long, but I know it's you can kind of go through the days and months praying, and that's amazing. I mean, that, what a great idea from Hope and Healing International to do that, to be very specific with the need. And then you're naming the child, the person with the specific need.
Right. And in many cases, it's what they themselves have asked you to pray for. So it's not a guess. It's like, this is what, like I named Emmanuel, I think I named him, or Brian, or, you know, this is the kid, this is the story, this is the mom, here's the need, here's the prayer request. And whether it's from them specifically or broadly based on the story that they're going through. Mm-hmm. So whether it's beside your Bible in your bed, or it's, you know, one of those reads in the bathroom with your magazines, whatever it is, there's lots of places we can put these things where it might just prompt us to pick it up, see what today's date is, and to pray. And it's free. So, you know, why not? Why not be more intentional?
Joanna, let's close this conversation, though I don't want to, because I could talk to you for a long time. But, you know, somebody's listening and they're going, Joe, you've been inspirational. I love hearing the stories. But I'm so overwhelmed with my life and needs where I'm at. I can't even think about the needs of others. And then I feel guilty because it feels selfish and self-absorbed. But help me to see, to listen, to, you know, to love and connect with, you know, others that are in need, others around the world. What would you say to that person who's just like, I hear you. Mm-hmm. How do I get there when right now I'm feeling overwhelmed with my own needs and my own struggles?
I think very practical thing that I think is really cool that Hope and Healing does, they actually have a Facebook group called 100 Miracles of Prayer. So if you're on Facebook, you can go find it. And you can actually put your prayer needs in there, and there's a group of people who will pray for you. And so sometimes the prayer requests that are posted are for the needs of others around the world that you don't necessarily know. But you can post your own prayer needs, because it is a two-way thing. That's the heart behind it. And I think, you know, at its kind of core, at some level, when we talk about maybe back to that theme of right-sizing ourselves, our stuff is very real. Let's not minimize it. But also put it in the right context of a world full of need. And I think sometimes we can become so hyper-focused on our own struggle, pain, need, problems, things that can't resolve, that it feels like we're kind of like spinning, and you start to feel like crazy in your own head. Like, not crazy, but like you feel like you can't kind of get a hold on anything in your own mind, because everything's just spinning and there is no answer to your current problem at this time. And so you just sort of focus on it and it spins around like a broken record. But there's something powerful about stopping that cycle by actually looking at what are the needs around us. And so that's not to say we should negate things that we're going through. Of course, they're very real. But there is a big wide world out there with all kinds of people. And as soon as we start hearing the stories of others, it doesn't make our need not exist, but it puts it in the context of like, wow, like we all need God. We all need help. We all need prayer. And we all can help carry one another's burdens.
So good. Joanna LaFleur, Ambassador of Hope and Healing International, co-host of See Here Love, founder and executive director of Word Made Digital, extraordinary speaker, traveler, media expert, I don't know, go on and go on, friend, adventure
pug owner,
pug pearl owner. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for spending the time. Thank you for being an ambassador of a great organization. And thank you for the many years, See Here Love, right from the OG, almost seven That's years it. Ago, Joanna, we started this thing together, and here we are. So, Yeah, so grateful for you. Your presence, your words, the work that you're doing. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for this. I think the reminder again of to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God, that I think that pause of the red lipstick now is like embedded in my brain, that we are, many of us, we are the same, you know, and I love this Women Helping Women and the work that Hope and Healing International does, the power of prayer and the power of story. So I thank you so much for bringing the stories to us, to our listeners and viewers, and the work of Hope and Healing International. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with me today here on See Your Love.
Yeah, Mel, it's such a privilege. I'm so glad whenever I get the chance to talk to you, because you live this thing that people and women especially, that they're seen, they're heard, they're loved by God. I know that is like the heart passion that you have. So that, hey, women listening, if you're, or a man with some lip balm, when you're putting on your next lip balm or your lipstick, would you, as you put it on yourself, would you pray for women and moms around the world who are also doing that exact same thing, and that God would carry us all?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joanna, so much for being with us on See Here Love.
Thank you for listening to See Here Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. Stay connected with our daily posts and stories on Instagram or Facebook at See Here Love, or join our newsletter at www.seeherelove.com.